Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Well, today we continue our very enlightening and fascinating study on Messiah and the seven feasts of Israel as they are given in Leviticus 23. And the leitmotif for studying these feasts is to show how they are messianic, that each feast is a type and a prophetic foreshadowing of the coming Messiah from Calvary to the kingdom. And the current feast that we are considering in that vein is Chag HaMatzot. Chag HaMatzot. That is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we discover that leaven in the Bible represents sin, immorality, and false doctrine. The last time we left you, we looked at how leaven, in five instances in the New Testament, stands for immorality and false doctrine. And so, the first type of leaven that we looked at, that the believer should purge from his life so that he may be unleavened, is the leaven of Herod. The leaven of Herod is the spirit of worldliness, hedonism, Epicureanism, and self-centered living. Basically, the leaven of Herod is stating that life, the purpose of life, is to fulfill the desires of the self. And of course, we see that in its many multiple forms. Dare I say innumerable forms today. Life is to be lived for self. The church certainly has been affected by this type of leaven when they devote much of their teaching with regard to what self wants. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to be wealthy. God wants you to be rich. He wants you to be prosperous. These are all subtle influences of the leaven of Herod. And it's not to say that God doesn't want those things for the Christian life as he is to follow the unleavened Christ. It's that God first and foremost wants us to be obedient to him. And that could entail suffering. That could even entail being poor. That could entail picking up the cross of Yeshua the Messiah and following him. And if we're not willing to do that, then in the words of Yeshua, we are not worthy of him. Not a popular doctrine today. So the leaven of Herod really is the leaven of worldliness and selfishness. And it's so named after Herod Antipas. For we learn from the New Testament portrait of him that he was very conniving, scheming, sinful, selfish, and a very hedonistic man. A man devoted to sexual and sensual indulgences. Remember that in Mark chapter 8, we learn that when Herod imprisoned John, because John the Baptist censured him for his ungodly marriage with his brother's wife, Herod's newly married wife, Herodias, demanded that Herod arrest John. And he did, and imprisoned him. And yet during this time, John preached righteousness to Herod and repentance. And Herod feared John. He respected him greatly and gladly heard what John taught in his demand for repentance and righteous living. But in time, Herod was forced through the manipulative machinations of his Jezebel-like wife, Herodias, to have John killed. And Herod did so because Herod was devoted to sensual pleasure instead of turning to the Lord in repentance and faith and putting his life right. The cure for the leaven of Herod is submission and surrender of self to the purpose, plan, and will of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we are indeed, spiritually speaking, keeping the feast in an unleavened way. Then, the second instance we find leaven in Scripture standing for sin or false doctrine is the leaven of the Sadducees. The leaven of the Sadducees. The Sadducees were a group of religious / secular Jews who were part of the temple cultists. They were part of the, they were one of the groups that made up the religious leadership of Jerusalem and Judea. And the Lord warns about eating from the leaven of the Sadducees in Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Jesus says here in verse 6 of Matthew 16, "Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." So now we have the leaven of the Sadducees. What was this leaven? If leaven is a symbol for doctrine or immoral practice, what was the doctrine of the Sadducees? Well, the doctrine of the Sadducees, we learn, was a repudiation and rejection of the supernatural. For we learn in the gospel accounts that the Sadducees did not believe in the miraculous, the supernatural, in the spiritual realm, in angels, and worse, they deny the bodily resurrection. We learn this in Matthew 3, 7, Mark 12, 18, and outside of the Gospels in Acts 5, 17, and Acts 23, 6, and 8. So they were materialists, rationalists, naturalists, and they, today, their successors are the skeptic, the religious liberal. Both deny, as the Sadducees did, both deny the miraculous in Scripture, the supernatural, and so forth. The modern advent of the Sadducean leaven really came with the rise and emergence in the church of what is called form criticism. That best epitomizes the modern day counterpart of the leaven of the Sadducees. Form criticism. It is the belief that the Bible cannot be interpreted correctly unless you first disallow, denude, and remove the text, the biblical text. You remove from the biblical text the miracles, the reality of the supernatural, and the spirit world. And you see this commonly held, professed, and promulgated today in the more liberal seminaries and in most, if not all, our secular universities. Reminds me one time when I was taking a class years ago in a liberal seminary up north. The teacher obviously had been feasting upon the leaven of the Sadducees. That is, he was a liberal who rejected outright any of the miracles that are given in the Scripture. And so when he was lecturing on the Exodus, he simply explained away the parting of the Red Sea, which was a great miracle indeed. He explained that away as simply claiming that Moses overstated the truth. That what really happened was that Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they waded, not even waded, they walked through the knee-deep Reed Sea that was adjacent to the Red Sea. Well, that created a dilemma And it actually argued for a greater miracle than the parting of the Red Sea. And you're saying, well, how is that so? Well, bear with me. I raised my hand and I told the professor, well, sir, if that's true, then we have a greater miracle. And he quizzically responded, how's that? And I said, well, because the text goes on to say that Pharaoh and his armies drowned in the sea. So, you would, if your account is true, then they would have drowned in knee-deep water. A greater miracle than the one that is proposed in Scripture. He really didn't know how to answer that and quickly dismissed such a alternative to his absurd denial of the miraculous. So those who eat of the leaven of the Sadducees simply do not believe that God is omnipotent, that He is capable of intervening in our three-dimensional space-time continuum, and therefore cannot, since He cannot intervene, perform miracles to supernaturally accomplish His purpose. These people are deceivers, and they are eating and disseminating the leaven of unbelief. And this is the doctrine of the Sadducees. And that is, the doctrine, the leaven of the Sadducees, is the leaven of religious liberalism, skepticism, materialism, and simply, and all that, unbelief. And unfortunately, it has a pandemic influence in Christendom and the world at large. So the believer is to accept the miracles in the Bible for what they are. Accept them at face value. That the writers of Scripture who witnessed these miracles, saw them performed, believed they occurred, knew they occurred, and so with that conviction and knowledge and certainty, wrote that down for their contemporary audience and for all those who would read the Scriptures in the centuries and ages to come. You notice here in Matthew 16:6 that the Lord Jesus also warned about the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees, another pervasive leavening influence in the church today and again in the world at large. Jesus warned His disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees. And what was the meaning? What was, if leaven symbolizes doctrine or behavior, what was the doctrine of the Pharisees? Well, it was really a doctrine that promoted legalism, which in turn caused one to behave in the fashion of hypocrisy. In fact, Jesus said, the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy. Luke 11:37 through 44 and Luke 12:1. Jesus gives really a catalog of the sinful behavior and practices of the Pharisees, that is the leaven that they were eating and feeding other people. He gives a complete list of what the leaven of the Pharisees is in Matthew 23. And time does not allow us to go through that point by point. But if you want to know what the doctrine and behavior of the Pharisees, by and large, was comprising the leaven of the Pharisees, I would suggest you concentrate your study on Matthew 23. And the practical outworking of that continues today. In the church, there are many people who are feeding upon and distributing the leaven of the Pharisees, which is legalism and hypocrisy. Remember, Jesus said that the Pharisees did not practice what they preach. They say and do not. They do not They talk a good game. They speak in an articulate and powerful way about their profession of belief in God, their walk with Him. And yet their lifestyle completely contradicts such claims. Though the Pharisees were scrupulous in their observance of their religious laws, requiring them to fast, tithe, and to be ceremonially clean, yet by the way they treated their fellow man, they made null and void their religious observances. The Pharisees did believe in the supernatural. They did believe in the divine inspiration and reliability of the Scriptures. And yet Jesus said they were as whited sepulchres, externally clean, but internally they were corrupt, rotten. As He said in Matthew 23, dead men's bones full of all corruption. And hypocrisy is like leaven in a believer's life. Unless it is purged away, it causes one to be puffed up. And Jesus warns us that if we entertain hypocrisy, that is, we seek to convince others that we are outwardly religious and right with God, and yet internally and privately we are living a contrary lifestyle, that in the end that will be exposed and it will lead to our own undoing. The scandal-ridden evangelical church of America has suffered much from the eating and displaying, I should say, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy and self-righteousness. We need to put this away. We need to come to terms with ourselves and with the Lord and look in this mirror of His Word and realize, Lord, my private life is not what it should be. There are things in my private life, in my thought life, that do not line up with Your Word, that grieve Your Spirit. And even though I appear righteous and a moral example to society at large, yet, privately and inwardly, I harbor and retain those things which are ungodly. I think that's true of all of us, really, to one degree or another. We do not live the Christian life and live for the Lord Jesus as we ought. And so this is where sanctification comes in. This is where the unleavened influence of the sinless Messiah needs to be brought in to remove these areas of leaven or sin in our life. And like the practice of Berecha Chametz, which the Jewish people do prior to Passover, we need to let the Spirit of the Lord as a candle into our inner life to expose hypocrisy and sin and to remove it, that we may be then become unleavened for the Lord. Next, the fourth instance where leaven is used in the New Testament to symbolize immorality or false doctrine would be the leaven of Corinth, which is the leaven of immorality. Let me explain this. Paul addresses a sin of major proportions when he wrote the Corinthians. There was an errant and immoral believer there who was involved in an incestuous relationship with his stepmother. In other words, he was having sex with his own father's wife, which was his stepmother. And the Corinthians did not deal with it appropriately. They did not confront this man and basically give him an ultimatum. Either you repent and cease this scandalous behavior, or we will purge you as leaven is purged from the dough. Because if Paul warns, if you do not do this and he is allowed to remain, then his behavior, like leaven, will leaven or infect and corrupt the rest of the body of believers at Corinth. And Paul then says that their lack of disciplinary action was like leaven in which the Corinthians were puffed up. 1 Corinthians 4:18 and 19, 1 Corinthians 5:2, 8:1 and 13:4. So he's using the phrase puffed up under the imagery of leaven, because that is what leaven does. It puffs up, it ferments, it expands in a bad way whatever it comes in contact with. And this is what was happening in the church of Corinth. And a closer study of the epistle to the Corinthians shows us that there were other sins that were going on in this church that were leavening or corrupting the congregation. So it was not only the sin of this incestuous and backslidden believer that was harming the church, but also there were other sins. Those sins were fornication, the misuse of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, an unhealthy and overbalanced emphasis on tongues, heresies, false doctrine, like the belief that the resurrection did not literally occur, and that one could be baptized for the dead. What did Paul say in light of this? Well, he used the practice of cleaning leaven out of the Jewish home to prepare for Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He used the phrase, put these things away. Paul commands the church to put away these sins, and the person who is having a leavening influence on the church. He told them to purge out the old leaven, reminding them that if you tolerate one sin, it will multiply and lead you to tolerate other sins as well, and the end result would corrupt, morally corrupt, the believing community. This is another sin, beloved, that is rife in the, particularly in the Church of the West, in America. Sexual immorality. Fornication. When was the last time you heard a pastor or a Bible teacher from the pulpit denounce from Scripture the sin of fornication? That is sexual activity outside of marriage. I would venture to say you haven't heard a sermon in a long while. That's because our society accepts premarital sex, fornication, and thinks nothing wrong with it. In fact, it's a normal part of the dating scene in our post-Christian, neo-pagan culture. And that leaven is beginning to affect and have a corrupting influence on the church. Not the liberal churches who say that the vices of fornication and homosexuality are okay. I'm talking about the Bible-believing, conservative, morally conservative churches, particularly as represented by the evangelical Christian community. Fornication is ignored or it's tolerated in this realm. And like it did in Corinth, it is corrupting and weakening the church. Its power is being leavened, and it hinders the work of sanctification. And so we should have nothing to do with sexual immorality, either ourselves, nor should we condone it and accept it in others. I've had several people work for this ministry that committed the sin of fornication. Even one person that comes into mind, he wrote a two-part article in our newsletter on the sin of fornication. And later on, he succumbed to that sin, and he's no longer with this ministry because his influence would not be allowed to continue, lest this ministry be corrupted through moral compromise. And so when you take this stand, beloved, against the leaven of Corinth, the leaven of sexual immorality, it will soon become a lonely walk for you, because it's either tacitly tolerated in the evangelical community or outright accepted in the liberal churches and the secular society in the United States and really throughout the nations of the world. And we should have nothing to do with it. We should put it away from ourselves. And those who are committing fornication, who call themselves Christian, Paul tells us we are to rebuke them in love, correct them, confront them, confront them, and if they don't repent, if they don't turn from that sin, then we are to disfellowship from them, excommunicate them from the believing community, and if they still refuse to repent and cease with this immoral lifestyle, then we are to hand them over to Satan for the destruction of their body, that their soul may be spared and saved the day the Lord Jesus returns for His church at the rapture. So these are some serious times we are living in, where the leaven of Herod, the leaven of the Pharisees, and the leaven of Corinth are having a disturbingly pervasive influence in the church. And we need to start removing this leaven. It starts, I should say, with ourselves. We need to do an internal inventory, an internal moral inventory, to see where is the leaven in my life? Where is the sin of hypocrisy? Where is the sin of immorality? Where is the sin of false doctrine? And wherever we find them, as the guiding light of the Holy Spirit shows us, we need to immediately repent of these things, put them away, purge them from our lives, that we may become a new lump and have fellowship with the unleavened bread, the sinless one par excellence, Jesus the Messiah. Amen. The leaven of immorality is a very dangerous, dangerous, corrupt loaf to feast upon, for in doing so we become corrupted in the end, and our testimony for Christ is ruined, and the power of God is squelched, because we refuse to purge these leavening sins from our life. And that's the spirit of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that we are to follow the sinless Son of God, and in following Him, we become less and less enthralled with sin, so that the work of sanctification is continually growing and our sins continue to decrease. Well, I see we are out of time for this session, and we'll pick up here next time I'm with you. God bless you, and remember, please write to us. The announcer at the end of the program will tell you how you can contact us. We have our bi-monthly newsletter that we would love to send out to you. It is free. You can call us and leave us your name and address, and we will send them to you. Please also pray about supporting us. We are a teaching ministry. We are an evangelistic outreach ministry to the Jews of Israel as well. We need your support. Our vision is to do this full-time, and we're halfway there. So please pray about supporting us. And as you support us, you support the ministry, the ongoing ministry of Messiah to the church and to the chosen people. Until next time, Shalom Aleichem, Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.